For those who don't know my background, I've been working at City Bible Forum for a couple of years now, but prior to this, I studied electrical engineering at UWA, and I worked for 4 years. And so in 2008, I was sent to a part of Africa on a gold mine, and I was basically said, there's a construction project going on, and it's coming along, and there'll be about 6 months left. So if I can go to site and help out for 6 months, that'd be great. I was happy to. It's a good experience, also tax-free higher pay, things like that. But I was planning to go to Bible college, as I guess I've now done. And so I was like, 6 months is fine. You know, have a bit of leeway in terms of when I start Bible college and so forth. And a couple months sort of, almost actually, to be honest, immediately, is to say the Perth office had one time frame and the people on site had another time frame, and it was in some sense trying to convince the office Perth office people, trying to convince the site people that no, you can get it done, and then the site people trying to say no, we can't, you need to tell like the client and everyone else that it's not going to your schedule. And so yeah, soon after they were like, oh, if you can stay another 3 months, that'll be great. And shortly after that, it was, I think it'll be another 3 months at least. And for me, after 13 months, I actually had to sort of pull the plug and say, you know, I'm heading off. And there was still probably another 3-4 months more. So a 6 month projection got sort of tripled in that. And so, yeah, sometimes I think you might find work doesn't run quite to plan. In addition to sometimes the schedule, when I got to site, you know, there were sometimes items either missing, wrong things done, even to share one of my own. So I was an electrical engineer and was involved with sizing most of the cables on the mine site, and at least one of them, hopefully I can't remember too many more right now. There was expecting a cable sort of as big as your arm to come in. And the one that was labeled and we had ordered was about the size of your finger. And that was my doing, although obviously someone should have checked it. And so, yeah, sometimes work can be sort of disappointing, whether it's the schedule or just your actualization of it. But I'd say that wasn't the only picture as well. I enjoyed getting out on site. You know, I'd spent a few years sort of designing things, and now I could actually see it coming to reality. There's a sense of satisfaction and accomplishment in that. And just for me as well, I enjoyed sort of a different style of work. So office work is sort of grueling on your eyes, looking at the screen. But out there, I did get a chance to be with 10, 20 people pulling a huge cable out of this drum sort of thing in the mud and stuff like that, and I enjoyed it. Physical change as well. And so I think we find the reality with our work is there's a sense of frustration, but there's also a sense of enjoyment and benefit from it. And a question that I want to look at is, yeah, can we find meaning in our work? And particularly then, you know, is there a worldview that makes sense of this sort of dual frustrations plus satisfaction in what we do? So we've read from Genesis, which I think sort of gives some of the answer. But to read another passage in the Bible, in Ecclesiastes, it talks about some of the tension of this as well. So Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1 says, "The words of the teacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Futile, futile, laments the teacher. Absolutely futile. Everything is futile. What do people get from all the effort which they expend on earth?" And that's the New English Translation. Other ones have things like meaningless, meaningless, or vanity of vanities. And here's sort of this opening blanket statement saying that all of life is in fact hopeless, meaningless. And obviously you could say it seems like a strange passage to sort of come out of the Bible, and it's a 13 chapter book, and it even talks directly some sections on work. So in chapter 2 verse 18 it says, So I loathed all the fruit of my effort for which I worked so hard on earth, because I must leave it behind in the hands of my successor, and who knows if he'll be a wise man or a fool. Yet he will be a master over all the fruit of my labor for which I worked so wisely on earth. This also is futile. So I began to despair about all the labor all the fruit of my labor for which I worked so hard on earth. For a man may do his work with wisdom, knowledge, and skill. However, he must hand it over, the fruit of his labor, as an inheritance to someone else who did not work for it. This also is futile and awful injustice. Verse 22, what does a man acquire from all his labor and from the anxiety that accompanies his toil on earth? For all day long, his work produces pain and frustration. Even at night, his mind cannot relax. This also is futile. So there is nothing better for people than to eat, drink, and to find enjoyment in their work. I also perceive this ability to find enjoyment comes from God, for no one can eat and drink or experience joy apart from him. For the one who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, but to the sinner he gives the task of amassing wealth only to give it to the one who pleases God. This task is futile, like chasing the wind. If you're a fan of the Message, Eugene Peterson's translation, it has this is like spitting in the wind in terms of worthwhile endeavor. Yeah, and so here we sort of see there's some frustrations in work. It also talks about you can find enjoyment and delight in that, but it's sort of reiterating this problem we find. And if, depending on when you date Ecclesiastes, if you put it with Solomon's time, it's like 1000 BC, that. We found other perspectives on work in ancient Near East. The Babylonians had a creation account called the Enuma Elish. And in this, there's a war between the gods. They're fighting, and the earth is the battleground, and it gets all mucked up and dirty. And it's like, oh, who's going to clean up this mess? Let's make humans, and they can be like the slave people to work the earth to clean up that disaster. And so work is seen clearly as a bad thing that you have been, unfortunately, given. But in some of the Greco-Roman viewpoints, I'm not saying this is the only one, but dualism was the viewpoint that the physical was bad and the ideas, the spiritual, is good, and you want to escape this life, this prisoned body that you have. And so with this understanding, it basically followed the same as well, that our physical labor was for slaves. That's not something you want to do. But for instance, if you see in the book of Acts, it talks about if you can spend your days thinking nothing about new ideas, as the people in the Areopagus did in Paul's time, then that's the success type of thing. You don't have to dirty your hands with this bad physical world, but you can talk about ideas and thoughts. So once again, here's another viewpoint that sees work really as a bad thing. And if I was to sort of take my best stab at how Westerners view work today, I would say that we tend to find our identity in work. So if you're just an illustration as such, I'm not promoting this, but if you're a doctor, you're seen as more successful than if you're a cleaner. And if you saw in the email that went out about this, Luke Ferry, in his book A Brief History of Thought, quotes that in terms of the perspective on work in the era, he said, "Work becomes the defining activity of man. Human being who does not work is not merely poor without income, but impoverished. In fact, he cannot realize his potential and his purpose on earth." Yeah, and so the temptation is to say, every time you meet someone, what do? Not so much as an interest of hearing what they do, but of an evaluation of, you know, are you a worthwhile individual? This tends to be the kind of Western perspective on work. So there's another way. Atheism is another sort of growing viewpoint, and I'd want to ask, is there an atheistic perspective on work? And to quote Richard Dawkins, and we'll look at one more as well, his sort of take on meaning and purpose in life could be found in this quote. He says, "In a universe of blind physical forces and genetic replication, some people are going to get hurt, other people are going to get lucky, and you won't find any rhyme or reason in it, nor any justice. The universe we observe has precisely the properties we expect. If there is at bottom no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. DNA neither cares nor knows. DNA just is, and we dance to its music." And so that seems to be saying that life in general has no meaning, let alone work, at least in any objective sense. Maybe you can give it some subjective, like a game, and say, it's not that it really accomplishes anything, but we'll just pretend we enjoy this or get something out of it. And this sort of tragedy, I think, of viewing life this way can be seen in the book which became a movie, Trainspotting. And so this is sort of almost a bit more of a depressing quote, but it reads, "Choose life, choose a job, choose a career, choose a family, choose a big TV, choose washing machines, cars, compact disc players, and electrical tin openers. Choose good health, low cholesterol, dental insurance. Choose fixed interest mortgage repayments. Choose a starter home, choose your friends. Choose leisure wear and matching luggage. Choose a three-piece suit on hire, purchased in a range of fabrics. Choose DIY and wondering who you are on Sunday morning. Choose sitting on that couch, watching mind-numbing, spirit-crushing game shows, stuffing junk food in your mouth. Choose running away at the end of it all. Your last days in a miserable home, nothing more than embarrassment to the selfish brats that you spawned to replace yourselves. Choose your future, choose life. But why would I want to do anything like that? I chose not to choose life. I chose something else. And reasons, there are no reasons. Who need reasons when you've got heroin?" And I think that's sort of realizing that it's all meaningless, that there's no point under sort of an atheistic worldview, ultimately. And so people in sort of destructive ways turn to various things, whether it's drugs or alcohol or just other things. And so I think we will resonate with the fact that, yes, work has its frustrations and difficulties, but we realize that there is something sort of valuable about it as well. And to me, can we find meaning in work under atheism? It's not a successful route. That ultimately just says to you that, yes, it's all frustration. It all just ends that way. I mean, if you happen to be sort of the lucky few who have, in a sense, like the fitter genes to be smarter, stronger than the others, to work for your advantage, fine, so be it for the day. But death comes to us all, and there was no reason to be first in line or last in line. It would just is and would be. And so to me, that's not so encouraging then, if that's the outlook. And so I'm glad there are other alternatives, as we read, for instance, at the start in the book of Genesis. And so if I want to ask them what's sort of a Christian perspective on work, I think we see in Genesis that's sort of the first step of that. That's to say, that was the sixth day in which God had created things, and it was good. And here we see God himself is working. He's doing things, making things, being creative in creation, if you like. And so work is something that God himself does. And then he's made us in his image to work and care for the garden as well. So the first point is that, yes, work is a good thing. We can find creative enjoyment and purpose in it because God himself does that, and that's part of his existence, and he's given it to us as something to do as well. That's sort of one thing, I think, side that the Christian worldview gives. And then if you went a few more chapters in the book, you sort of get the other story that because of sin and rebellion, that the earth is cursed and that work is now becoming hard, And so we do have this sort of frustration as well. It sort of holds together that daily experience of sometimes it's agonizing, sometimes it's lovely. And yeah. And I guess, I mean, that's, I think, the main picture, but in some sense you'd say, well, it's not the end yet. We do see that it will be restored in Jesus, that he was someone who wind and waves would sort of obey him in his work to bring into control, and that's something that Christians look for, a new heaven, new earth, where things won't be, work won't be as frustrating as it now is. But so I think we see, just to contrast the two worldviews, can we find meaning and purpose in work? Is, you could say, well, if there is a God, then there is objective meaning and purpose to work. But if there's no God, then there is no objective meaning or purpose in work. And I would want to say that both, that there's good reasons to think there's a God, and hence there's objective meaning and purpose in work. Or we could say that because we feel that, yes, there really is some objective meaning and purpose in our work, that's a good reason to think that God exists, if you like, as well. But practically speaking, you might say, so how does this help me in my daily grind? And a few pointers then is, we can try to, practically speaking, look at having a purpose, productivity, and a sustainability in what we do. And so we need to first realize that what we do does have both present value and eternal value, that what we do matters, yeah, now and into eternity. And that's the sort of perspective that you should want to have on it. So don't get into this mindset of that, you know, there is no God, this earth is all that there is, but rather keep in mind that the picture is that no, we're part of this work of, that God has made, and what we do on a daily basis contributes to that and has value. But then in terms of how we can more practically do that then, is try on a daily basis to be productive in what you do. So don't say, oh, I've got this gold mine to build and it's going to take, you know, 6 months. But say, you know, today I've got to get, you know, 4 cables in, or I've got to get my spreadsheet done. I've got to get, you know, some of these emails, not necessarily, they always come in, right? But some of them done. Yeah, so if you can be productive, set like a short-term goal that can help you feel the meaning and purpose that there is in your work. And then the other one is be sustainable. That's to say, there's no point in working a, don't want to necessarily give, you know, a line, just as an example, but, you know, there's no point in working a 16-hour day for a week, 16 hours each day, if you can't do that for years to come. You know, if you're going to, and there might be times, obviously, when work's busy and that's required, but my point is, if it's not sustainable, you're going to burn out and you're not going to feel productive, meaningful in the long run. And so if you can do this on a day-by-day basis, that's something that you're also going to find sort of helping you realize the purpose for which work should be. So hopefully that's some useful thoughts, just to see that we do sort of have frustrations and joys in our work, and something like Christianity makes good sense of that, that work is a good gift from God, although it's fallen, whereas something like atheism ultimately fails. It doesn't make sense of how we experience reality, and we try to be productive and sustainable in what we do that can help us to realize that daily meaning.